Welcome everybody to the Story Cafe. My name is Adriana and I am your host. Story Cafe is a podcast all about just moving through life and the ups and the downs and our shared experience of going through those things. This podcast for me is absolutely a for fun venture. That's why I do it, because I enjoy it. And I try very hard to get episodes out pretty regularly, but sometimes life gets in the way of that. So today's episode, we're going to talk about nostalgia. I hope this is going to be a really fun one. It's one I've been thinking about for a long time. So enjoy nostalgia. I have been thinking about doing this episode probably since the moment that I saw the movie Inside Out 2. And spoiler alert, one of the characters in Inside Out 2 is nostalgia. And it's not a big part, but she is probably my hands down favorite character of the whole movie. And every time I watched the movie and I watched her in the movie, I literally experienced nostalgia. What's interesting, I was telling somebody about this, and what's interesting is that they said to me, oh, do you know that nostalgia is actually a pretty negative, like its origins are not a positive thing. Like I always associate nostalgia with, you know, looking back with fondness. But the original word actually came from this idea of the pain we feel when we miss home. And I think it's a word that was created amidst like one of a war somewhere in the world. But for me, I actually, like when I have nostalgic moments, they're always this like look back of like, oh, remember when that happened? And so I've been thinking about it for a while, but not really sure how to tether it to anything. And so I've been ruminating on that. And this week is our second week at school. It's back to school month, back to school week. And I thought, what an awesome opportunity to kind of pair those two things. So pair back to school with nostalgia. And so that's what I'm going to attempt to do. Back to school week is a time that I think come September, end of August, masses of people go back to school. And whether you have kids or not, back to school has an impact on you. So if you are someone who travels in the morning, back to school week, especially when like university students go back to school, especially when school buses get back on the road, traffic really changes. You know, you're used to that summer driving. And then suddenly there's cars everywhere. I think back to school week for, you know, grandparents or caregivers who suddenly go from not necessarily having to do after school care for their kids and now they're back in the swing of that. And then for teachers, for parents, all of us either currently in our lives or historically in our lives have experienced the anomaly that is the back to school week. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I often, when I get to back to school week, and I work in a school, so it has like really specific, you know, practical things. Like I actually go back to work. I have small children, so getting them ready for school, getting back into that, we have to get up early, we have to get out of the house on time. All those things are part of it. But I often, in that back to school week, think back to my own childhood and my own experience going back to school. And it's such an invigorating time. I think going back to school and finishing school at the end of the school year are probably the most exciting time in my personal experience in public school. Now, that's not to say there aren't lovely things in between, but usually for me as a kid, by the end of summer, by the end of August, you're getting kind of bored, right? I grew up in a time where in the summer, you went outside all day long and you played. And some of that was really lovely and exciting. I could distinctly remember the very first time I was allowed to get on my bike and drive my bike with my friends to the gas station and buy candy. Now, that was back when the gas station sold candy. And that was back when you could still buy penny candy and 5-cent candy, when that was a thing. Talk about nostalgia. I remember going to stores with like $1.25, and that you would walk up to the counter and they'd have these little paper bags. And sometimes you could get the stuff you wanted yourself, but most often the clerk at the store, you would tell them what you want, and you would be like, okay, I want 5 of those penny candy right there, 5 cents, right? And then I want 5 of those little raspberry gummy things that maybe were 5 cents each. Okay, so now we're up to 30 cents. And with $1.25, that's a lot of candy and it's a lot of counting. And so I do have memories in the summer of getting to do those things, getting to go to stores and buy candy. But generally by the end of August, I was kind of done, right? I was like ready for some routine. I wanted to see my friends. I was excited about school. And I will say I am someone who I enjoyed school most of the time and I had a positive experience. And I do recognize that there are so many people who don't have that positive experience. So for them, going back to school might have been a misery. And I do want to acknowledge that because I think that's a truth a lot of people experience. And so, but for me, my memories of going back to school were a new outfit. I remember there always was a new outfit. And you really wanted, you suddenly cared about being clean. I know I did anyway. All summer, didn't care at all about being clean. A little bit like my life right now. But back to school, you're like, oh, I really should like shower, wash my hair. And so I remember having a new outfit. I remember we didn't get new backpacks or anything like that every year, but sometimes we did. You know, the old ones would get worn out. But we always had school supplies. And I can remember vividly the orange campfire notebooks. That was always on our school supply list. And we often in school would have to write. I remember one of them we would write our spelling words. And every week we would get 10 words. We'd write them in the book on Monday. We'd study them all week. And then Friday we'd have a quiz. So I think a lot about like those school supplies, so the campfire notebooks, pencils. Now, in today's modern world, we are often asked as parents to send, a lot of times now you just send money and they buy the school supplies. But when my kids were in grade one, primary one, we sent in school supplies and they asked for like 50 pencils. And I am 100% sure that when I was that age, I might have went to school with like 3, 4 at the most. So times have changed. Maybe the quality of pencils are not as good and therefore they go through them faster. But I remember having a pencil case with new pencils, that fresh box of colored pencils. Because by the end of the school year in June, your color pencil box was absolutely destroyed, if you even still had it. You know, the cardboard on those boxes that the color pencils and the markers come in, just over time, they rip, they break, they flatten. Your color pencils are falling out the bottom. And so in September, you get a fresh new box of color pencils, fresh new box of markers. Depending on what grade you were in, there were certainly in my older grades, I remember, like, we would bring binders and loose leaf. But in the younger grades, those scribblers, we had to bring scribblers. And back then, they didn't have zipper binders. They just had regular old plastic 1-inch binders. And so when I look back at school, that back-to-school time as a kid was so, the excitement of finding out who your teacher was going to be and who was going to be in your class. It was just such a lovely, lovely time. And it's really fascinating to be on the other side of it now because I do see, you know, you see the inside, right? You see how the cogs work. And so now as an adult who works in the school, I look at all the teachers who show up at school the weeks before when they don't have to, but they do, and they show up so that they can get their walls ready. How much time and effort goes into making that classroom a really welcoming space? And as a kid, you walk in and it just feels kind of magical, right? And even my kids in years where they really struggled with school, that first day of school was still very exciting. You're nervous and you're excited. Teachers have had a minute to breathe, so they're excited to see you. It's a pretty special time. And the other time, like that, I find end of school year has a really similar energy. Everyone's kind of excited to be done. There's a nervousness about summer, you know, and it's almost like in reverse. At the beginning of the year, you're bringing all the school supplies in. And I can remember at the end of the school year, emptying my desk out and just bringing like mountains of papers home and all my old work and all the things in. And it would never fit just in your school bag. You always had to bring, probably back then it was like plastic Sobeys bags for anyone who's in Nova Scotia or has a Sobeys. You would fill those plastic Sobeys bags with all your work and you'd bring it home. And I don't know what the adults did with that stuff in my life. I know there's one adult who is a very special person in my life. And every once in a while, she'll show me stuff that she saved. So she still has things that I did in school. But I think a lot of adults are like me as a parent, where it all comes home and you're like, what do I even do with all this? And you slowly, you don't want to like throw it away because it's your kids' work and they worked really hard, but you also can't have a museum of schoolwork. And so you slowly pick through and convince your kid to let go of something. And that's what I remember about back to school, is like the excitement to get in and all the possibilities. And then the end of school, where it's like the excitement and all the possibilities for summer, but also all the memories and all the things that you did coming with you. And most people, I mean, obviously if you were homeschooled, then maybe that isn't or wasn't your experience. But a lot of people, that was their experience, that school cycle. And so you can look back to those times. And probably a lot of people find some fond memories. I have really distinct, I don't really remember much about grade primary. I don't remember much about grade one, which is probably pretty normal. I remember a lot about grade five. I had a teacher, her name was Miss Lafitte, and I lived in Dartmouth at the time. And she was reading us Lord of the Rings. And that was the first time I'd had a teacher read such a big book. And I loved it. And she also did this thing with us where I can see now, like for me, it was so exciting and it really propelled my love of reading. And as an adult, I can look back and go, oh, like if you weren't a strong reader, that was probably really tough. But we would keep track of the books that we read. And there was no pressure to read a certain number. It was just a way to kind of inspire us to keep track of it. But there was another kid in my class, and him and I got in this like weird competitive thing about it, to the point where we were reading like the simplest. We would go find books that were like for grade twos and read it just to throw it on their list. And then we would look at each other's lists. And that time I learned how to read really fast when I was in grade five for that reason. But it also just excited me. I got really excited about books. And because I was trying to read more books, I experienced books maybe I wouldn't have, you know, thought of before, especially like Roald Dahl books. I remember reading, I forget what it's called, something about Daniel. Anyway, I have it here somewhere. So when I look back, looking back at school is very nostalgic. And that's what I think is really special about nostalgia. And I think it's why when I watched Inside Out, I was like, oh, this is too much for my heart to take, because I don't remember when I started experiencing nostalgia, but I do know that my own son has started to experience nostalgia. And I hadn't really, it never occurred to me that nostalgia was something that you kind of developed over time, because it is a look back. So when you're five, you don't have a lot of memories behind you because you forget some of those things. You don't have a reference point. But when you're 13 and 14, you start to have these reference points, and it could be, oh, remember that Christmas when this really special thing happened? Remember, you know, that time we went on that trip? You know, there's so many ways as you get older and you build life experiences, nostalgia starts to arrive. And that's what happens in Inside Out. There's this like really cute moment where nostalgia arrives, and it just, I don't know why it felt so special, but it really blew me away. Like, I almost burst into tears, which I realize sounds ridiculous as I say it out loud, but it was really meaningful to me. And part of my life has been a pretty sizable attachment to memories and tradition. And I don't think that's just me. I think a lot of people get really attached to tradition. So even my kids will say, who have had a pretty well-adjusted upbringing, they will be like, oh, but we always do it this way. It's tradition. And I'm not sure if I instilled that in them. I think probably me more than their father. But we create traditions. And when we come to them, there's something like this feeling that rises in us. That's really special. There's something special about doing the same thing over and over. The flip side of that is sometimes we have to change traditions. And it's hard, you know, because we like the feeling of like, well, we always do this. There's something that feels really special about that. But sometimes those things have to change. I mean, when you're young, you have traditions maybe with your family around holidays. And then when you're like university age, maybe you've moved out, you still come back for a lot of those traditions. And then when you're old enough to have your own family, those traditions don't always work anymore, but you're still attached to them. And those are times when we have to kind of let go of those traditions and grieve those traditions a little bit. One of the things that I've noticed recently is, and it's connected to traditions, but I have this real urge to recreate a moment. And I think sometimes that's what traditions grow out of. And so I'll have this like really special time with friends. Maybe we'll go away for a weekend and it's so lovely. And as the weekend starts to come to an end, I start to think to myself, and I do think other people around me as well start to think, how do I do this? We need to do this again, right? We should do this every year. And it's a really lovely idea. And I think it comes from wanting to recreate those moments. What's challenging, and what I have realized, is that can be really hard to do, right? When we have traditions around holidays, sometimes it can be easy to carry those forward. But recreating moments that are really special and magical is really difficult. And it'll never be the same. You'll never be in that same spot, in that same date again with those same people. And those people will never be the same. We grow and we change. So even if you do manage to set something up where like you and your friends go away once a year for the weekend, and I've known people who do that, which I think is awesome, it's not going to be the same because those people who show up are different. In that year between when you last went away for the weekend, they've changed. And yet I find myself drawn to doing that, to recreating moments. And this year, what I'm trying to do is not do that. Not to say that I don't want to do things again. I think if you can make things happen regularly, I think that's awesome. You know, if it's possible, I think it's wonderful. What gets challenging is when it's not realistic and it's not possible, and then you get frustrated. And ultimately what you're doing is you're trying to hold on to that feeling. You're trying to hold on to that moment. And I'm trying to let go of that. I'm trying to let go of this desire to just recreate things. And part of that is because I'm wanting to build more trust that those things will happen in their own way, in their own time. So maybe it's a weekend away with friends and you have like belly laughs. Like there's nothing like going away with your friends and you just laugh and laugh and laugh. I love that. But maybe it's sitting around a campfire and you're laughing. You know, it doesn't have to be the same. It doesn't have to be the same people. I think trusting that if you put yourself out there, you'll have those moments. Then you let go a little bit of this idea of I can only create those moments when I'm in control of them. And that's the crunchy bit. I think wanting to recreate something is wanting, like it's like wanting to catch a butterfly. Like they're beautiful and they're special and they're like so difficult to catch. And that's what some of our moments are. And I think that's why we want to recreate them. And I find that with nostalgia. When I look back at moments, I think we do this with our family sometimes, with our kids sometimes, where like I had a moment as a child where my husband and I have talked about this. Oh, remember when we were kids, we were just outside all day. We could go to the store whenever we wanted. And we look back at that with fondness. And I bet if we talk to the adults in our life, they might have some different perspectives of like moments when they couldn't find us and they didn't know where we were. And our kids don't have those experiences. You know, my husband and I have talked a lot about how it's just a different world and our kids don't have those experiences. And yet we can't create that. Like the world is different. And so I'm trying really hard not to let like my nostalgia of things that were special to me impact how I parent, right? I'm trying to not allow my own values or the feelings that I enjoy or the things that I want to dictate what I create for my kids, because they're going to create their own memories. They're going to create their own moments with their friends that are very different from mine. And they're going to grow up and their nostalgia is going to be very different than mine was. And that's wonderful. And I think that's why I'm drawn to this topic a little bit. I don't even know if this is a topic. It's just something that sometimes with this podcast, there are things I kind of wait for topics to come to me. I don't want to force anything. I want it to be something I'm intrigued about or interested about. And so I wait. And sometimes that's why making a podcast takes a little longer. Because I don't want to come on here and just say nothing. I want it to be meaningful, at least to me. And some of those things are kind of fluffy. Like in some ways, thinking back about the first week of school and school supplies, it's not like a super intense topic. But I've thought a lot about it over the last couple weeks as we enter into the back to school. A lot of memories of like glue and class lists have come back to me. And there's many other moments where kind of nostalgia sneaks in. And so that's why I wanted to do this podcast, because I wanted to think a bit about it. And as I've been talking and sharing on here, what I've kind of the connection I've made is just that connection to our look back and our nostalgia, our fondness for the past, and how that sometimes shapes our desire to shape the future and control the future in front of us. Mostly to try to almost like micromanage our feelings, right? Most people, if not all people, love a good belly laugh. You know, laughing feels really good. And laughing till you can't breathe and laughing till you're crying is not something that happens every day. Thank goodness. As much as like I love it, it kind of hurts sometimes when you've laughed so hard that your head hurts. And so I think it's really important that we do our best to bring our best selves forward. And moments create themselves, right? The good moments create themselves, the challenging moments create themselves, and you can't control it and you can't predict it. When I think about when we go through like natural disasters and how, you know, a couple years ago we had a pretty sizable like hurricane where we lived. When those things happen, people come together in ways that you can't predict, in ways that you can't control. Just like when you come together with family, sometimes there's good stuff, Sometimes there's real awkward, challenging moments, but you can't control that feeling. And the more we practice kind of letting go and being in the moment, I think the more opportunity there are for those things to happen. I can think of a recent experience with friends at a campfire where we were laughing and laughing. I couldn't plan that. You know, I can hope that when I spend time with these people that are really awesome, that that might happen. But sometimes you spend time with like really awesome people and you have really serious conversations. And those are just as meaningful. But if I went into those experiences saying, well, we're going to have a campfire and we're going to do this and we're going to laugh, it would never happen because you cannot control it. I think that's what's wonderful about nostalgia, is that it's this part of us that sneaks up on us and we never really know when nostalgia is going to appear. Sometimes it's a smell, and not all nostalgia is good. I have really distinct memories of the brewery in Halifax and the smell, and it doesn't leave me with a good feeling, but it does instantly bring me back to my childhood. And so I think the invitation for everyone is to let go of some of that desire to like recreate feelings and embrace the moments as they come, which is a lot about being in the moment, and see the opportunities to surround yourself with people that make you laugh sometimes, or people that make you cry in a good way sometimes, you know, people that make you push yourself. I was saying to a friend recently that there were some risks I'd taken out biking that I wouldn't have done without this particular friend. And so those are the moments that are really special. And I think those are the moments that become our nostalgia later, right? I think in 20 years, I hope that me and my friend Jenny are going to sit together on a porch drinking coffee and say, remember when blah, 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 blah. And it brings this kind of wave of comfort and calm. That's what I hope for. And I can't control that. So that's our podcast for today. I hope it was a fun little tour. I hope for most people, there are little tiny memories in your school experience, even when you're really young, that bring you some kind of positive nostalgia. I know it's not all good and it's not all rainbows, but maybe thinking about those colored pencils or those campfire notebooks or just glue. I also remember, side note, I have to tell you about this before I say goodbye, because I just thought of it. When I was in elementary school, we used to go out, and there was a playground on grass, but there was also just pavement. There was pavement everywhere as well. And we would go out with some kind of tool. I don't even know. I doubt it was a knife. Like, I doubt we were allowed to have knives. But we would go out to the pavement and pick what we called fool's gold out of the pavement. And like the bigger chunks you could find. Hours. I'm certain I spent hours picking fool's gold out of the pavement. And I don't know if any other schools did this. I don't know if that was just unique to where I lived in Coal Harbor. But I can literally picture myself on my hands and knees on the pavement looking to find. I don't even know what fool's gold is anymore. I don't even know what it is. I don't know why it's in the pavement. And I don't know who said we should pick it out of the pavement, but it was a very big thing when I was in elementary school. And so I hope you have some of those little memories. I hope you have fun thinking back to, you know, this time of year. I hope the traffic isn't bothering you too much if you're in a big city and the school buses and all the university students are out. All that to say, I hope you have some lovely nostalgic moments in these weeks of back to school. And I look forward to being here again. Bye for now.